Lions 5/8 Mile Training Track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse with the L.A. County Fair Meet. Opening day is Saturday, June 25th. The opening day card will be headed by the Bertrando Stakes. Plus, the daytime meet will also feature a special holiday racing program on Monday, 4th of July. The 4th of July card will be headed by the Grade 2 Great Lady M Stakes. Past winners of this outstanding race for fillies and mares include champions Gamine and Finest City and the outstanding Marley's Freedom and Horse Players. The 4th of July program will also feature a popular live money on-track handicapping contest. You could win one of two berths to the 2023 National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. The contest format is available at losalamitos.com. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders also return as our live quarter horse and thoroughbred nighttime action will follow the daytime cards. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse. 9 days of great racing. Opening day is Saturday, June 25th. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and just coming out of a really fun visit with John Sheriffs. And I say fun visit because, you know, he made me laugh and that was great. You know, John, those turnbacks. That's what they tell me. Sire Watch Pedigree Folk is brought to you by Hill and Dale, and we say good morning to Sid Fernando. Sid.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I had a sad responsibility to reach out to John Sheriffs to talk about Hollywood Story, who just happens to be, you know, my favorite contemporary filly or mare. And you can actually pick up and go on with it because there's a lot of interesting, you know, blue hen points to make about a career like hers. She had a fascinating race career. One part of this that I didn't really get into with John is the commercial side of it, because her broodmare, Dynaformer, not known for, you know, helping a progeny's you know, attractiveness, and you know, typically you get kind of a, you know, you get kind of a raw look, you know, good for performance, not necessarily so great for, you know, the sale ring. But she's really, you know, she leaves the stage having ticked, I mean, every box possible, including being the dam of a sire.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about her so many times on this show that I know she's the favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's certain owners that get associated with certain sires. And with Dinah Former, actually, you know, it was Hollywood Story's owner, George Krikorian, that does have some kind of longstanding association with this line, right? And it probably, I mean, I can't think of it offhand, but Hollywood Story was what, I think a fall of 2001 or 2002.
And, 2001. Right? Yeah, 2001.
Yeah, 2001, yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, so you're going back over this 20-year period, and it was probably before, too, but... this association, you know, you get a horse becomes that important to somebody, and from there onward, you see breeders sort of going back to either a certain sire, a familiarity with a certain female line, and to me, the fact that this filly by Wild Rush out of a Dinah Former mare was such an important element in Krikorian's resume of winners, big time winners, and so forth. You look at his horse, Mr. Big, right? The stallion in the stallion that stands in California, and once again, he's doing as much as he can for that stallion, and that horse is he put that horse in stud as a winner of just the, you know, a winner of two wins from nine starts and like 70,000 in earnings. And look at what that horse, you know, continues to do out there, just from his own breeding program, pretty much. And another typical Dinah Former in the vein that you're talking about, big, you know, not particularly a sale type of horse, but, you know, a part of his thing. And he was probably, Mr. Big was probably one of the better looking Dinah Formers still. But he's named after the size that Dinah Former imparts to his offspring. So, you know, you can tie the horses and have the offshoots that are still available today.
Yeah, it's funny. I pulled up the Mr. Big page in the Stallion Register, and one thing that he's got, he stands at Legacy Ranch in California for 4,500, and in terms of his you know, the horses lately, that big switch is his, that won the Mallaire like 3 weeks ago, and he's got a number of current runners that have got some black type, and in a lot of the ones that Krikorian himself is, you know, campaigned, Big Score and Big Sweep and all those, you know, Big Book, so forth. But one thing looking at his picture that, you know, one of those breeding maxims, that you hear, you know, there's certain things that people, you know, rely on. You're looking at his confirmation photo, no straight lines, quote unquote, Sid. he's got a absolute perfectly rounded hind end, Mr. Big, and you know the
he must
hip
be like
and the shoulder.
17 hands or something too, right? Got to be like 17 heads.
You'd imagine, yeah. I mean, just looking at him, and boy,
does
I don't know what this picture.
On the page?
Maybe on their website on Legacy Ranch, baby. I'm just looking at the. Does it say on the confirmation? Does it say on the? Sometimes, actually, you know, it's funny. You're right. Sometimes it used to see, you know, the something H with the hands size on these pages. Now that you say that. And I don't see it anymore. Good point.
Well, usually what happens with a really big horse is they don't put a size down.
It intimidates people?
Yeah, you know, I would hazard a guess, without having seen him myself, that he's got to be over 17 hands.
Honor AP, you know, who just entered stud last year, so you know there's a group of 22 babies on the ground, and I haven't actually, I guess if I poked around the internet, maybe find some baby pictures, but he's a big thick horse and a long bodied thing too, the Honor Code out of Hollywood Story.
It's funny because I remember I was at the sale when he sold as a yearling at Saratoga. I've recounted this story before. I just met George Krikorian. And then, independently, I happened to be in the back wing, and Honor AP caught my eye, and he just absolutely stood out. I was like, whoa, who is this horse? Literally, the cliche, a man among boys. I mean, the way he was, not only his incredible coloring, but the way he looked, beautiful horse, which enhanced the way he was marked up, and his eye, and he just strutted in the back room, and I had no idea who he was. I just looked it up on the catalog page and just said, wow. And then it dawned on me that I just met his breeder, and it was out of your mare.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then, of course, he made that huge amount of money, like 850 or something, or 875 or something, you know. But you could see why he made it.
He stood for 15,000 this year at Lane's End, and he'll start to, you know, I guess we could even see some weanlings sell in the fall. And
yeah, sure.
We'll start to, it'll be easy. I'll tell you one thing. It'll be easy to tell how he is stamping his foals, because he had a lot. He had the four white feet, and he had the big blaze. So it'll be pretty clear what you know, which Honor APs are stamped by him.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, he's such a good looking horse, and he's kind of made for the sales ring. And, you know, in the column I did this week, for example, for TDN, which was on Not This Time, another big horse, too. You know, lately we've been getting a lot of really big horses turning into big stallions. You know, you look at Uncle Mo, you look at Not This Time, who's big, Quality Road. So you're getting a lot of big horses that normally seem to have uneven stud careers, but lately they've been really notably succeeding, Not This Time being the most recent. And even on a regional market like California with Mr. Big. But the thing with the Not This Times, and I'm sure this will hold true for Honor AP, is that they both went to stud for 15,000 first year. They were such great physical specimens that the sales arena enhanced the people's opinions of them right away. So, you know, like the first weanling from Not This Time, for example, off of 15,000 stud feet, 18 sold for an average of $78,000 with seven over $100,000. And that gives people suddenly an idea of who the hot horse is vis-a-vis stud fee. You know, making $78,000 average on a $15,000 stud fee within a year because you're selling it as a weanling is it's a heck of a return. And so that'll be something actually to keep an eye on for this year, because I know a lot of people are very high on this horse, including David and Gordo. He's the one who actually bought the horse for that $800 sales price and sent it to John Sheriff's to train. And so John Sheriff had the opportunity to train the dam for Kikorian, and then the son for I forget who actually raised Donner AT now, the owners, but it was the client of David and Gordo's for sure. So there was that continuity too. There's another offshoot of that tangent, right? That David and Gordo, who has this great relationship obviously with John Sheriff, who he had picked out the Zenyatta at $60,000 to send to John, gets his horse for $800,000 plus. Who then goes to John again?
Well, and the Honor AP campaigned by the big Laker fan, CRK, the Searings,
oh, right.
Lee Searing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, this is one of those, you know, track and follow, and we'll think back to this discussion when the babies start to show up soon enough. And I have to mention one other stallion, Sid, before a couple of other topics, and this is going to come out of left field. Yesterday at Delaware, Jerry Robb sent out a three-year-old filly to a win in the $50,000 Lewis stake, Mama G's Wish. And it just so happens that on Saturday at Laurel, Mike Lucchesi sent out a stake winner, Nick Papagiorgio. How about Outflanker getting two stake winners in like 6 days?
Yeah, and Outflanker's been around for a long time.
How old is he?
I don't know if he's still alive, to tell you the truth. But, you know, he was a horse that, he's an extremely well-bred horse, obviously. Let me see if he's alive. But,
that's funny. He's a Danzig, right? He's a Danzig son.
Yeah, yeah. And from a great family, I believe it's a family of AP Indy. Let's see, Outflanker, yeah, and he was at stud for a while, I believe, in Florida, too. Yeah, he's still, get this, he stood this year for
$2,500. Jeez, unbelievable.
At Shamrock Farms.
Unbelievable.
And he's by Danzig out of Lassie's Lady by Aladar.
Lassie's Lady, I know that name. It's funny that you mentioned AP Indy and the Weekend Surprise, but Del Carroll trained Leslie's Lady for Mr. I assume for Mr. Farish.
You mean Lassie's Lady?
Yeah. Lassie's Lady, not Leslie's Lady, of course, is the big mare, also recently deceased. But I got the biggest kick out of this. I mean, here's a stallion whose name you haven't seen. When I do those stake summaries each weekend, and I thought it was noteworthy, and Mike Lucchesi is a friend, and so I thought, oh great, and then lo and behold, a 3 year old Outflanker wins a stake. So I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, and he's 28 years old this year.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
Yeah, and you know
that's great.
There are very few Danzigs obviously around, notably Warfront. and hard spun. This horse was, by the way, outflanker, got a chance to go to stud only because he was by Danzigan from his great family, because in 10 starts he was only placed.
Well, and that's a theme. You know, you and I over the years have talked about that. The sibling strength, or coming from a family that you get a chance, having the opportunity, to even get it. And but then you get the opportunity, but then you have to perform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's always been around performing. Given a $2,500 stud fee, moving around place to place, it's really quite amazing that you caught that. I didn't even notice that that he had those two stakes wins.
It's very funny, and actually, I'm just now you got me digging around. To go back to, Lassie's Lady, who was herself out of Lassie Deer. She got, which would make her, you mentioned AP Indy, it makes her a half-sister of Weekend Surprise.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Will Farris family, yeah. And this horse entered stud in Florida. And then he got moved, I think into the Maryland area. And he's had some, I know he's had some good horses through the years. It's just amazing that it's a great story to see him around. I mean, he had, he's the sire of? He's the sire of Annabelle, remember? That mare Annabelle, she was a good stakes winner, made over $700,000. He also had the other mare Bayou's Lassie, who made over $700,000. So he's had quite a few, quite a bit of success vis-a-vis the stud fee again,
Yeah, and, who else? Wow, I went another step back because I was curious about Lassie Deer herself, and she was a modest enough stake winner. She won a stake at Keystone and one at Hawthorne, but she was a full sister of Galapiat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both son and daughter of Buck Passer, and the first two foals out of Gay Missile, herself a daughter of Missy Baba. This is some family.
Yeah, it's an outstanding family of AP Indy. A recent young stallion that's from the same family is Mr. 50's B Jersey. If you look up, his pedigree, it intersects this through. Let me bring it up because I can't speak of it off the top of my head. But B Jersey, a Lassie's Lady, is B Jersey's third dam. So it's a direct line.
An offshoot. Yeah. And boy, there's so much here. You go one back to Missy Baba, Master Bull, Chakri, Gay Missile, Raja Baba, Toll Booth, Dramba, and Sauce Boat.
Yeah.
And here's Tony Black, who's going to be on in a couple of minutes. Tony rode her to that Keystone stake win. Look at that. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm about to wait this all linked together.
You can't make it. It's just crazy. You did bring something up, Sid, that I want, and I'm glad when you mentioned Mr. Fipke. I do want you to explain to people, because there was some handicapping, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, I would love to.
Explain the idea of running him in that Salvatore Mile, and you know, the idea of Cheryl Spite, you know, potentially getting a graded stake dirt win. I mean, that's got to be the reason that he tried this.
Yeah. Well, first off, let me just say that I'm so glad you asked me this, because I was like rolling my eyes at some of the comments that I saw. But first off, let me just say that this horse has always trained really well on dirt. When he was at Payson, and Roger Axel would always tell Mr. Fitzy this horse trained even better on dirt. So, you know, he'd been entered in a dirt stakes race earlier this year at Tampa Bay. He'd run on dirt at Gulfstream, but Roger said he didn't handle that particular surface. So he was entered again at Tampa Bay, but the course came up muddy, and so Roger scratched him. Now, here's the thing: as far as this last race, the Salvatore Mile goes, people think, Chuck wanted him in this race, and da 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 da. Well, believe it or not, I happened to call Chuck and say, hey, did you see that Cheryl Spite was entered in this race on dirt? And Chuck said, no, I never knew that. He said to me, should we scratch? And I said, well, Roger did it, obviously, because Roger knows that, you know, you'd like to see him on dirt at some point just to see how he handles it, because Roger's been talking about it. And so Chuck and I spoke about it, and I said, why don't you just let him run, because Roger's going to drive down on Friday, and he's going to be there. And so Chuck, the first fallacy is Chuck had no idea this horse was in the race until I told him. That was number one. When people say, oh, the owner is making this decision. No, it wasn't that. Of course, generally, Roger actually was interested in trying him. Roger, of course, would couch it by saying, you know, the owner is interested in a dirt race. But it was never discussed between Roger and Chuck about this particular race. And I know, because I happened to talk to Chuck right away when it was entered. And Chuck asked me whether we should scratch. That's number one. Number two, the horse did handle the track Chuck and I talked right after the race. The thing is that this horse had been trained, once he was on turf, to relax and come off the pace, which is perfect for turf. You know, make that last run and capitalize on giving this horse cover, and he's got tremendous acceleration. And as I said to Chuck, on dirt, it's all about speed. You're going to get compromised that way anyway. You know, you're not going to get a pace set up to close, especially a small field, two horses that have speed that are going to be going fairly easily, and you're going to have to be forced to be up closer than you want to be anyway, which is exactly what happened. Obviously, he ran, he handled it, he ran third. Yeah, there's no way he's going to close against those horses. He never got a setup. But at least he ended up getting a graded stakes placing and proved that performance at Gulfstream was, you know, as Roger had said, not the track he liked. So that was basically the reason that this horse was put on dirt at this time by Roger, because there's a lull right now in the season before he gets back on turf again. And one of the reasons for putting him on dirt was to see if the year-end goal at the end could be the Breeders' Cup Mile on dirt. And so that's why there was this interest in doing it. Of course, he's going to go back on turf right now. And he is going to race again next year. That's one of the great things about Mr. Fifty's program, is he doesn't just run them and then retire them to studs. He doesn't syndicate his stallions. He owns them all outright. and he's really interested in performance. And as I've always told him, which is a mantra that he keeps repeating back to me now, is that the Spike Sounds, just like Spike Sound himself, get better with age. And so this horse is really coming into himself right now as a five-year-old and won its first grade one. You know, very much similar to Spike Sound's own career path, where he didn't become a champion until he was six, I think. And so the plan is that this horse will remain in training next year, you know, knock on wood, everything goes good. And Roger thinks the world of this colt. So, you know, that's, I appreciate the opportunity to explain some of these people.
Well, and I just pulled up the result from Saturday, and I'm going to put it up on Twitter, and people can follow this, you know, this conversation up with discussion. He got a 93 buyer, and it, you know, he's obviously a 104 winning the Maker's Mark. His other two wins, the Tampa Bay, the Grade 3, a 98, and the prep for the Tampa race, which was an allowance, he ran a 93. So, it, you know, he's probably, is he better on turf? Probably. But, you know, frankly, it does open up, you know, the circumstance where, you know, let's say he's going to run the four-star Dave this summer, and we get inundated. You know, come off the turf. It's just nice to know.
That's exactly it. And for a breeder like an owner breeder like Mr. Pipke, he wants to find out if this horse can run on dirt too.
Because, sure.
You know, it formulates his breeding plans down the road.
Cheryl Spite, and I'm now up to at least twice a year now. It seems every 6 months, Sid, when I hear somebody ask a question, David Aragona seemingly is troubled by Chuck's naming process. He's repeatedly wondered aloud, and I've explained each time to him that when you have sort of an Einstein kind of an intellect, naming your horses the way Chuck does, there's a method to it. So I've 6 months, it seems, I'm explaining this on Twitter to people.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, too, which is funny, because I happen to speak to him, and what amazes me about him is with all the horses that he has, he can recall every single horse, every single mare, because of his naming convention.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, for him, it's to keep track of the way his mind works of every single horse and how it's named in relation to its pedigree. So that's how he can visually keep it in mind. And really, if people want to know how the naming of these horses takes place, what first happens is Fawn Semenoff, his administrative assistant, goes through the list and puts the possible names together based on the sire and the dam. And so she's got several combinations of that to each horse, at which point she then sends them to Chuck, and then Chuck either circles one of them or puts another one that's more familiar to him that he can remember the pedigree with and sends it back. And then she, of course, you know, gives it to the jockey club. But that's how it works. He's not sitting there himself, you know, going through everyone. He gets a list with options, reads the combinations, and gets it in his mind the best one that he can remember that pedigree with. Because it's not just remembering the horse. When he brings up a horse, he brings up the actual four-generation pedigree just by on the name in his mind.
That's great. That's great. Every time I bring this up, it's always worthwhile, because there's people listening that, you know, that have wondered, you know, to themselves probably, you know, what's the, you know, why are these names, you know, so, you know, so one dimensional seemingly, in terms of, you know, put together. And not that it's unusual to merge a dam and a sire's name. I mean, we see it all the time, and it's not a particularly, right. You know, it's not a particularly unique approach, but the method of his approach is, you know, is very, very much a specific purpose.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. If you have 100-foot horses, how are you going to remember each one? And if anybody sees him at the track and how he acts with his horses, kissing them and stroking them and everything, he's got a it's a real emotional bond he has with every one of his horses. He gets the same kick if a horse with Roger Atfield wins a grade one race, or one of his third string trainers like Kelly Ackerman in the Midwest wins the allowance at Mountaineer. He gets the exact same relation, viscerally, you know, and he'll call up to bring the name, and frequently when he talks to me about a horse and brings up the name, I have to actually punch it in to figure out which pedigree it is, whereas he already has it in his head. And because he knows that individual horse, because here's the thing, he goes to the farm when they're born. He's got a farm in Paris, Kentucky. He knows every weanling that's born. He knows that horse is a yearling. He knows that horse is a two-year-old that he tracks. You know, he's not a guy that's breeding a horse. He doesn't see it, and then the horse goes into a sale or something like that. Obviously, he's there with any of these horses that he's involved with, and so he knows them all, you know. And, of course, the ones that he decides to sell aren't named by him. So those are the ones, you know, if I call up and say, hey, did you see that horse you bred won a race, then, of course, he's got to pull up the pedigree because the naming is not his convention.
Hmm, that's true. There, yeah, good point. That the ones that have got to be followed for, you know, statistical purposes
and
the sales sign. How much? I we're far afield, and I got to pull up. But this is a question that I typically would have asked of Satish years ago, Sid, and that is how much of the marketing with this program that is established with the Fipke Sons, how much of the advertising and you know promotional support is Chuck responsible for? Is that part of the stud deal that is involved?
Oh no! I actually oversee all of his advertising stuff, and he pays for every one of his ads because they're not syndicated. So he's responsible for the advertising of every one of his horses, and I kind of oversee it. We have PM Advertising that actually puts all the ads together. But if I don't like something, I'll give him a suggestion, or I'll give him a suggestion on what something to work on. Or Chuck will call up and say, hey, you know, I really didn't like that ad. You didn't mention that B Jersey was from the family of AP Indy, so then we'll call PM and say, you need to put that line in for him because, you know, he didn't like that. But everything is really controlled by him. You know, he doesn't have to answer to anyone with any of his stallions, any of his mares, or any of his horses. And he's very rare in the business that way because, you know, most ownerships now are multiple ownership people. Stallions are syndicated, so the syndicates pay for the stuff in the stallion farm. With Chuck, no. He pays Darby Dan a day rate for every one of his horses standing there or any other farm. And the advertising, you know, basically through me, I decide which one when we're going to advertise them but and how they look. Except for Seeking the Soul, who's at Ocala Stud. With Ocala said, Michael O'Farrell actually handles the advertising on that horse. But Chuck pays, you know, I mean, Michael controls the content. But even then, we've had some situations where he's called me in, so I've talked to Michael and said, Chuck wants this and this, and PN happens to do that account too, so it's very easy to do. But that's basically the nuts and bolts about how that works.
I'm glad I asked. Then, of course, B. Jersey and Taylor Vicati and his son Taylor Burr, right? Are all all of them at over at Darby Dan.
You know, when you're not a commercial breeder, you can do stuff like Chuck's doing. For example, breeding his Eclipse Award-winning mare Forever Unbridled to the stallion Seeking the Soul, who stands for $5,000. At Ocala Stud, which is what he did and is doing. So you see, there's no commercial play there. It's sort of like Fred Hooper. Fred Hooper bred Susan's Girl to some of his other stallions there. His own stallions, not to, you know, the highlight commercial horses, because the idea for guys like this is they're really interested. And this goes back to age-old times and the Aga Khan, Marcel Boussac in Europe, you know, from guys here, the Green Tree Stud, any number of people from the old school, primarily kind of spread their merits to their own stallions.
Exactly. I mean, because you do, see that. I mean, he'll take in, you know, a hybrid, whatever he needs. I mean, it's not self-focused or entirely. There's some exciting and interesting. I give John Phillips, Darby Dan, a tremendous credit. They're quite willing to do some interesting things. I mean, that includes Standing Dolphus, the half brother of Rachel Alexandra, himself a son of Looking at Lucky, which is, you know, a chance to. It's kind of a unique. It's kind of a backflip, you know, to be a brother of an all-time great,
right,
filly.
Yeah.
Kind of a different way to, you know, to breed into a family. So they've been doing it a long time, from the Galbraiths and now the Phillips family. So Sid, this was fabulous. What a great way to wrap up the first half of the year.
All right, Steve, I'll talk to you next. Not next week, but the week after. Have a good.
I think we're actually looking at. I won't talk to you until July 13th, till Saratoga opening week.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Have a great show. Okay.
I appreciate it, Sid Fernando. Everybody, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale and Work Thoroughbred Consultants. 510-490-1111. Put that in your phone, even if you're not making any calls until later in the year, to discuss your broodmare band and your decisions. But put it in there so it's handy, and you don't have to go scrounging around. 510-490-1111. We're going to see if we can't get Christoph in right here before we take the break. Tony actually is running over to his mother's, Tony Black. So we'll talk to Tony in hour three, and then we got to get to Tom Law as well. So what we'll do is if we get Christoph, so we can pay tribute to Alec Head, and then we would break, and then we would come back with Tom Law, Tony Rich, and Todd Pletcher. In fact, while Casey is trying to raise Christoph, that reminds me to send Todd a note, because we don't want to give him an excuse for missing us here. Well, you know what, Case? Then let's take the break here. Then let's try to keep a partial on track. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We've got lots to do yet in this third hour. At the Races continues. Sirius XM.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you?